Test Tishrei, Erev of Yom Kippur, Friday the 7th of October, Rabbi Yehoshua Hartman, the Chiyuv Bakoshes Mechila, Erev of Yom HaKippur.
Hi, good morning everybody, Gemach HaSimot Teva, and we should have a great new year, Metz Hashem. Rashi brings down in Chumash that the concept of that someone that's being requested to forgive, should not be cruel from forgiving. Which is really, Rashi, that terminology is said in the Mishnah, in Baba Kama Daf Tzadik Beis Amud Aleph, that it says over there that even if a person inflicted injury on another person and he has to pay the five various payments, Nezek, Tzar, Ripui, Sheves, and Voishes, he still has to go ahead and ask Mechila. And also over there the Mishnah says, Uminayim shelo yeh hamoichel achzari. Where do we know that the Moichel should not be cruel from forgiving? And the Mishnah quotes the Pasuk, Vayisper Avram Elokim, Vayirpe Elokim as Avimelech HaGomer, that Avram Avinu, even though Avimelech kidnapped his wife, Avram Avinu still went on hand and davened on the behalf of Avimelech. Interestingly, the Rashi does not say it there. On the Pasuk of Avram and Avimelech, Rashi there didn't say anything. Where does Rashi say it? Way later on, 3.5 chumashim later, in Pashas Chukas, where Vayavo Ha'am El Moshe, Vayamu Chatanu Ki Dibanu Hashem Uvach, he spotted Hashem, please daven on our behalf, after they spoke a derogatory way about Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayispalem Moshe Ba'adam, and Moshe Rabbeinu went ahead and davened on their behalf. So it says Vayispalel Avram on the behalf of Avimelech, and it says Moshe Rabbeinu davened on the behalf of the Jewish people. The Mishnah of Baba Kama learns that the Moichel should not be achzari from the very first source, from what Avraham Avinu behaved, the way Avraham Avinu behaved. Rashi did not say it there. Rather, Rashi waited for Parshas Chukas to say it. Why is it better to learn it from Vayispalel Moshe than to learn it from Vayispalel Avram? Why did Rashi do that? Usually you follow a Mishnah. A Mishnah is considered the highest form of Torah Shebaal Peh. We learn a lot of halachas from Avraham Avinu.
It's
a kavachomer. And so that's a question I'll ask the oil to think about throughout the Yom Kippur. Why did Rashi decide to become silent in Parshas Vayera, and he decided to write this point that don't be achzori from forgiving, not with the Mishnah mentioned it, but 3.5 chumashim later in Parshas Chukas. No, but we learn a lot of halachas from Avraham Avinu, even though it's b'teva. We learn chesed from Avraham Avinu. We learn a lot of things from Avraham Avinu. We don't say he's b'teva. If the Torah brought it for us, then we should learn from it. And you see, the Mishnah did learn from it. So what, if it's good enough for the Mishnah, why wasn't it good enough for Rashi? That's what you have to come up with. If you're going to say the svar that Avraham Avinu b'teva, you can't learn from him, so have the Mishnah learn from it. So there has to be that there's a different point between the Mishnah and Rashi, and that I'm going to leave open this question. But let's just focus on the words, Shelo yeh hamoichel achzori milimchol. What does achzori literally mean? To be cruel, right? That the moichel should not be cruel from forgiving. Why is that cruelty? I mean, I would think of other words. Why achzori? But if you look carefully in the word achzar, what does it mean? What does ach mean? No, that's with a ches. And that's with a chav. Achzar is nothing but a stranger. That's what it means. Achzar means ach, alpha. Ach be yom ashvi, whatever. Ach is a mute. Achzar, there's nothing but a stranger. Meaning, you see a big usage in this Mishnah, and we're going to go into it in a minute. Cruelty doesn't mean someone who's like actively mean, like a big Russia. If I don't connect to someone else's pain, it's also called cruelty. Someone is suffering, someone is a subordinate of hearts, and I don't care. I do say a polite good morning. I nod my head when I go by. I'm polite. But I don't care about his tzaras. I don't lose any sleep about it. That's also called achzorius. And if someone comes and begs forgiveness with a broken heart, and the other party says, no, I will not forgive. So he's not connecting to the pain of the one who asked him to forgive. And when you don't connect to a pain, that's called achzoyas. The Rambam says the same thing also in Hilchos Tefillah, if the tzibur is in a tzara, and someone says, it doesn't bother me, my family's okay, I'm beseder. No, but this one's never sick, and this one lost his money, and this one, yeah, okay, but I'm okay. My wife, my children, I call beseder. Says the Rambam, again, that's called achzoyas. Achzoyas means not like actively being terrible, but achzoyas means
I just don't care.
And since I don't care, that's called achzar. Okay. Once we establish that, the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tov Reish Vav, now it's good to know that the Bach points out in one place, I don't remember enough exactly where, but the Bach points out that the headlines of every Siman were also written by Rabbi Yosef Karo. So just like we're medayek in Shulchan Aruch, we could also medayek Chavre, alive. We could also medayek a headline. Right? The headline in Siman Tov Reish Vav is Shifayis Adam Chavero Be'erev Yom Kippurim. Ubo Dan Tzifi. Okay, they always ask how many Tzifim will be in the Siman. Shifayis Adam Chavero Be'erev Yom Kippurim. Something here doesn't sound right. The whole year around, you're supposed to be Fayis your fellow friend. Right? Why is it being said here only on Erev Yom Kippur? What's up, Shah? So the Mishnah Berurah says on the spot, "Bein af al pi shegam b'shalim mois hashana mechuyav lefayis l'mishapasha kenegdo." Throughout the whole year, you got to do it. Mikom kom im ein l'fnai. If you don't have the time throughout the year, hu mamtim lefayso al yom acher, you can push it off. You have the flexibility of pushing it off. Aval be'erev Yom Kippurim mechuyav letaken hakol. On Erev Yom Kippur, you're obligated to rectify everything. Meaning, according to the Mishnah Berurah, is there anything unique about Erev Yom Kippur? No. It's just a deadline. It's a deadline. The whole year, you have the flexibility of pushing it off. On Erev Yom Kippur, Im lo achshav, Erev Matai, it's the 90th minute. But is there anything intrinsically different between Erev Yom Kippur and the whole year around? No. The urgency is an Erev Yom Kippur. It's the 90th moment. If we can learn something from football, a goal in the 90th moment is like a goal in the 10th minute. This is one, this is one. It's more dramatic if it's in the 90th minute. And it's not equal more than just a regular goal. So, according to the Mishnah Berurah, the Holy Chafetz Chaim, it comes out that there is no something, a special obligation in Erev Yom Kippurim. Just, it's the whole year around. But on Erev Yom Kippur, just make sure you do it. There's a Gemara, I think, that says not like that. Now, how could I argue on a Mishnah Berurah? Of course not. The Chofetz Chaim was a malach. But that's according to the Koach of Torah, the beauty of Torah. And I want to point out that probably the Chofetz Chaim would agree also. I'm going to show you from the Gemara that there's something unique only on the Erev Yom Kippur. And you do not have to do it throughout the whole year. We'll have to define what. And it will come out that there's two kinds of issues. One is relevant the whole year round, and the other is only on Erev Yom Kippur. What will that be? So the Gemara says in Maseches Yuma Daf Pei Vav Amud Beis, and it spills over to Beis Zayin Amud Aleph. And you can think about, what does it say there? Rav Habe Pasik Sidra. Rav was saying a shir, Kamei De Rebbe, in the presence of Rebbe. Ayil Ata Rabbi Chia. Up came Rabbi Chia. A minute or two late. Hadal Reisha. So Rav, in the honor of Rabbi Chia, started the shir over again. A rewind, and started again. Ayil Bar Kappa. Man number two came in, a little bit late. Hadol HaReisha. So Rav started the shiur over again. Ata Rav Shimon Barabi, a third Tano Amara that came late. Hadol HaReisha, for the third time. Ata Rav Chanina Barab Chama, the fourth one already came in late. This sounds like a psychishmakish here, right? People are coming in slowly but surely. Omar, so Rav said to himself, Kulei hai nehedo benizo? So many times I'm going to start from again. You know, enough is enough. And what about the people that came on time? Lo hador. For Rav Chanina, he did not rewind and start from the beginning. He just kept on from wherever he was. Says the Gemara, ikpid Rav Chanina. Rav Chanina had a kpeda. How do you translate kpeida in English? A grudge. We'll see. Okay. Azel Rav Legabe, Rav went over to Rav Chanina, and listen to this. Tleisar male yome de kippura. What does that mean? 13 Erevim Kippurs. That means for 13 years. He approached him for 13 years. The law defies. And Rav Chanina did not forgive him. We'll see soon what's going on over here. So before I go on the Gemara, in those days everybody lived very close to each other. Rav approached Rav Chanina for 13 Erevim Kippurs. And the Gemara is not saying he approached him throughout the year. It's hard to say, like the Chofetz Chaim, that really it's an obligation the whole year. But the whole year you could push it off. For 13 years he pushed it off, every year to the last moment. What about Zlizim, Magdim, and the Mitzvahs? 1 year it happens. Numbers are getting failed. 13 years? He never bumped into him throughout the year in some kind of Shevet Bruch, or Zachasna, or Pidyon Aben, or Shalom Zaka? He never met him in Shachas Mechamar? For 13 years? Hard to say. He probably did meet him. And yet, he didn't ask Mechila then. But he asked Mechila for 13 consecutive years on Erev Yom Kippur only. Which shows that there's something unique about Erev Yom Kippur, which does not happen throughout the year. Let's define it. But the Gemara goes on and asks in Rav Chanina, Rav Chanina, how did Rav Chanina behave in such a way that he was so stubborn? What would you ask him, Rav Chanina? You have to be Michael. What does it say you have to be Michael? What? No. That's what you want. But what does it say? We just now learned a Mishnah in Baba Kama. A Mishnah in Baba Kama. So if you were writing the Gemara, how would you ask in Rav Chanina? Hey, Rav Chanina, how come you weren't Michael? It says in the Mishnah, Shelo Yachzari. You know what the Gemara did? The Gemara challenged Rav Chanina's behavior, but on a different basis. Rav Chanina, how did you do that? Say no for 13 years. Rava said that it's nice to be nice. And if you forgive others, Hashem will forgive you. So Rav Chanina, how come you're not taking the good advice, the sound advice of Rava? And the Gemara answer is something with a dream. He saw that it's better if it will be tough with Rav Chanina, and therefore he'll be able to say, Pikuach Nefesh, whatever. You look up the Gemara, you'll see what the Gemara explains. But I'm not interested today in the answer of the Gemara. I'm interested in the question of the Gemara. Why is the Gemara asking Rav Chanina from an Amora, and not from a Mishnah? A Mishnah, in two ways, is so much stronger. First of all, it's a Mishnah, and Rava's an Amora. Second of all, the Mishnah is an Isur. You're not allowed to be cruel. Rava's a nice piece of advice. You know, if you'll forgive others, Hashem will forgive you. Rav Chanina, why aren't you heeding to the advice of Rava? Why didn't you ask Shtaker? What would be Shtaker to ask? From a Mishnah. So we have two good questions on this Gemara. Question number one, from the fact that Rav approached Rav Chanina 30 times only on Erev Yom Kippur, that implies that there's something unique about Erev Yom Kippur. Undoubtedly, they met each other throughout the year many times. And yet, he only asked Mechila on Erev Yom Kippur. That's question number one. Question number two, when the Gemara challenged Rav Chanina, the Gemara did not ask from him from the Mishnah, but rather from a member of Rava. Interestingly enough to point out that Taz, when he quotes this Gemara, you know how he quotes it? I'll read it to you. The Gemara pachinan al Rav Chanina, the Rav Chanina hechavid achi hatna na moicha lo yachzori. You see what the Taz did? He quoted the Gemara that it was asking for the Mishnah, and the Gemara answered they had a dream. Now the Taz lived already in the time that the Gemaras were printed. It's hard to say he had a ksav yad of a different Gemara. Probably what happened with the Taz is that he wrote it orally. And it leaked in the call, but that's the Gemara asked. We look at Bernard Gemara, the Gemara didn't ask for the Mishnah. But when the Taz was writing the Gemara Baal Peh, he was convinced that how was the Kasha in Rav Chanina? From a Mishnah. So from the Taz's mistake, I'm just proving, that's the Sechel HaYosher, to ask from a Mishnah. Anybody awake here, guys? I'm awake. Good. Because I like speaking to Leib with the Goyla.
You sure the Taz made a mistake?
Could you make the Taz? Listen, the Taz is a zany from my wife, and I for sure have to watch out here. But I checked out different gistoys, and this gist doesn't appear. So Adarabba, from the gathers of the Taz, I'm just proving that that's a Sechel HaYosher to ask from a Mishnah.
The Kasha from Rava is better. The Kasha is, why was he Makbid at all? Not why was he Makbid?
No. When you have a Mishnah, you ask from a Mishnah. Rabbi didn't say, no. Rabbi said a piece of advice. It's a piece of advice. I have to listen to Rabbi. It's a nice piece of advice. The Mishnah says, okay? Besetting a more, Rabbi said. So, to answer these two questions, I just want to point out something very simple. But I admit, there's no real problem here. We'll see soon why. Why do you have to ask forgiveness from someone to appease someone that you upset them? Why? Let's try to think. Why do you have to do it? So, Pashup Shah, what our mothers told us, Koli Mechayenu, clean up the mess that you did. You made a mess, clean it up. You broke a window, pay for it. You broke a heart, also pay for it. Not with money, but with words. You got to rectify your damage. Whatever you do wrong, it's your responsibility to make it right. And if you hurt someone's feelings, go ahead and make sure that you don't hurt his feelings anymore. That's a push as well. Let's call it tikkun ha'mu'uvas. Tikkun ha'mu'uvas means to rectify the wrongdoing. That's why number one, and that's push it. The tour, and again, the same siman in Tafresh Vav, says another inyan. He says that he first spells out the halachas that you got to go ask mechila. He quotes the Gemara and Yuma that you got to go ask mechila, even if it's only with words. And he learns that Rav Chanina was the Rebbe of Rav, because he says that to a regular person you go ask mechila only three times, but if it's your Rebbe you should go even many times. And that's the notion of the Suga. And then he goes on saying, the oisin ken. Alive. I'm not 10 minutes, we're finishing. But I think can you do so today to enable Shiye Lev Kol Yisrael Shalem et Kol Echad im Chavero to bring out the unity of the Jewish people. Velo Yeh Makom La Satan LeKatlig Alem, and there shouldn't be any room for the Satan to persecute us. We're out to impress the Satan. Yom HaKippurim is the only day of the year that we have a Gassik Hashem with the Satan. We give him a Seir La'azazel because Hashem told us. Right? And there's one goal in Yom HaKippurim. We want the Satan to sing our praises. And the Torah says, I'm not making it up on my own. It's a Mefarish Shepik Rabbi Lezer. The Torah was it. Ra'a Samael, that's the Satan, Shelo Nimtza Chet B'Yisrael B'Yom HaKippurim, Ve'omer Ribon HaOlamim, Yesh Lecha Am Echad Ba'aretz K'malachi Hasharis. You have people who are like angels. And here comes the common denominators. Ma malachi asheres yichefe regal? Just like malachi asheres are barefoot, af yisrael yichefe regal b'yom ha-kippurim. Ma malachi asheres ein lehem kvitza? They don't sit down, they're standing the whole time. Af yisrael ein lehem kvitza, odim ha-raglim b'yom ha-kippurim. Ma malachi asheres niki mikol chet? Kach yisrael niki mikol chet. Ma malachi asheres shalom b'nehem? Kach yisrael b'yom ha-kippurim. So, we want the Satan to say about us that there's Shalom. And we're like Malachim. But if Chas Shalom is friction and discord, the Satan won't say it. So we have to go ask Mechila to bring out our Achdus. I think I would like to say the word to perpetuate, because I just picked it up 2 or 3 days ago, but I don't think it's the right time to use it here. I just wanted to throw it in. I don't think it's the right time though. Anyway, we want him to bring out our Achdus. That's what the Torah says. So you got to ask Mechila that the Satan should say HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Yom HaKippurim. These people are like Malachim. They're mamash like Malachim. And 4 common denominators with Malachim. They don't go with shoes, they don't sit down, they don't have chatayim, and there's Shalom. I say Shalom Bim Raimav. Now we got to understand, so there's 2 different approaches to ask Mechila. 1, to rectify your wrongdoing. 2, to be like a Malachim. What will be a practical nafkamina between these 2 approaches? First of all, the rest of the year, the Yom Kippur was obviously on the Yom Kippur. And we'll get to it in a minute. What will be, give me guys nafkamina, lemaisa. If I got to ask Mechila because I got to correct what I did wrong, or if I got to ask Mechila to bring out the unity of the Jewish people.
It's also a chilab on the person who's got the emotion. Okay,
Mistama, that's definitely true. But basically, what would be, let me give you 1 example, and then I want you guys to tell me another example. Let me tell you something, if I can. What would be if Chas Hashem Reuben spoke Lashon Hara about Shimon and caused him a real damage as a result, a business damage, whatever, but Shimon doesn't know about it? So when Shimon sees Reuben every morning, he gives Reuben a nice hello. So Shalom Aleichem, and also Shalom Aleichem, and they're very friendly with each other.
Does Reuben have to go tell Shimon, "Hey Shimon, you should know I spoke about the Lashon Hara, please forgive me"? This will fall between these two categories.
If it's to bring out unity, there's more unity now. Like that, you're rocking the boat. But if it's because what?
That you got to rectify your wrongdoing. You got to rectify your wrongdoing. He doesn't know you did it, but so what? But you did it.
If I'm in a parking lot, I did a reverse and I did a scratch on the other car, he doesn't know that it's me. I got to go tell him it's me. So if it's achnus, don't ask mechila. If it's to rectify the wrongdoing, you should ask mechila. But what would be faket, and the Olam said it, what would be if you feel that you're 100% right, and the other party has no right to have a time on you? How can you think you're right? Everybody thinks he's right. There won't be a raya. The two of you went to Rabbi Yosef. You can't go higher than that. And the two of you approached Rabbi Yosef. There was some kind of dispute. And Rabbi Yosef paskened that you are right.
Wow.
But you still see that since then, that guy still has a grudge against you. Even though Rabbi Yosef said you're right. Do you have to go ask Mechila even if you're right? This again would fall between these two categories.
If it's because to rectify your wrongdoing, I didn't do anything wrong. Rabbi Yosef said I'm right. But if it's to bring out the unity and the actors of Am Yisrael, this you got to do, even if you're right.
Right? I always give this muscle. We're, all of us who are married, we all know, Baruch Hashem, best marriages, but the following scenario happens in every marriage, I would say at least once a month, or once every other month, I don't know. What's the scenario? The husband comes back from shul, I'm giving us an example, let's say this is 1,000 filling, hello, and he says, he sees the wife in the morning, hello my dear wife, how are you? Fine. How did you sleep? Good.
Is everything okay? Here, Jewish woman, silence. Did I do anything wrong?
Again, silence. My dear wife, tell me, did I do anything wrong? You're a clever boy. That's what I was told when I got married to you. I'm sure you could figure it out. That's more or less how Jewish wives answer.
And you sit down and you think to yourself, what did I do? I don't know. What did I do wrong? Last night, we went to visit Uncle Max and Aunt Rivka.
That's her side of the family.
We went to visit there, and we said in advance, before we're going in, we'll be there for an hour. From 6:30 to 7:30.
But I saw that she's having a good ball there. I stayed there till 7:45. Another extra 50 minutes. And then I got up to leave, and she left with me. She didn't tell me she wants to stay longer.
I guess that's what that. She wanted to stay longer.
So the first initial response is, yeah, but we made up for an hour before, and I extended it for another 15 minutes, and she didn't tell me she wants to stay longer. I'm not a nubby. You know, you got to assert yourself from time to time. You can't make yourself a schmatter.
Zauzer, we're going to show that who's boss here. So even the most great husbands, after 2 minutes, start thinking to themselves, you know what? So what if I'm right?
Asma? The kids have to see a little attention here, because, hey, I'm right.
It's better to be clever than to be right, no? So after 3 minutes, you approach your wife, and you say, my dear, loving wife, I'm asking from you, Mechila. Now, if I would have a direct contact with you on that moment, I would ask you, tell me, do you really feel you did something wrong? What do you think you would answer?
No.
So why are you asking Mechila if you didn't do anything wrong? Show him thanks. I'm asking Mechila, even though I didn't do wrong. Shalom Bais. That's the way I make Shalom. I'm asking Mechila. Right, wrong, doesn't make enough to me either. Right?
We all experience this. That's what I said. Nachon?
That's what you got to do on every kippur. On every kippur, you got to go and ask someone Mechila, even if you are right.
And it's a lot harder to ask Mechila when you're right than to ask Mechila when you're wrong. Because when you're wrong, you might get wrong. If you're right, you just have to ask Mechila.
Like with your wife, let's define it this way. With your rebbetzin, the gansiyo is a yom kippur. That's a good way to remember it.
I'm gansiyo is a yom kippur. Now, boys say, once you understand that you have these two tracks, when you did something wrong, that's the ask mechir of the whole year, and you got to do it, and that's what the Chafetz Chaim spoke about.
But also to bring out the unity of Am Yisrael, and that's even if you're right, let's go back now to the Gemara in Yuma.
Rav approached him only on Erev Yom Kippur. You know why? Because Rav thought he was right. I chazed this year already three times for other people. I got to do it a fourth time. You know what? If it will happen again, I will do it again. He didn't have remorse. He didn't think he did something wrong. But even if you're right, you got to ask Mechila. That's only on Yom Kippur. That's going to be a problem. Only on Yom Kippur. Either the Shmuel says that's a chil the whole year around. Yeah, that's when you did something wrong. To rectify your wrongdoing, that's the whole year wrong. But to bring out the unity, it's a real chil on Yom Kippur. It's nice to do it throughout the year as well. But the chil is on Yom Kippur that the Sartre is to say, we have shalom. Just one second. You know, 100%. Good point. I just want to finish this point. When you go ask Mechila, even if you're right, I don't think you have to go say, you know, I was wrong, please forgive me. Be diplomatic about it. Say, you know what, we had an incident a few months ago, and I know there was unpleasant feelings, I'm asking your forgiveness. You don't have to say I was wrong, but for sure don't go ahead and say, and I was right. That would backfire like no one business. Right? Right? Be diplomatic about it. Rabbi, now it's understood why the Gemara did not challenge Rabbi Chanina for Moyar Zoi. Why? Rabbi Chanina is no fool. He also noticed that Rabbi approaches him only on Yom Kippur, even they met each other many times throughout the year. So Rabbi Chanina said to himself, why does he approach me only on Yom Kippur? Because he thinks it's right. And he wants to bring out your unity. Fine. Well, I have my other chesbonos, but you can't blame Rabbi Chanina that he is an achzori. What does achzori mean? Not connecting to a broken heart. There was no broken heart here. There's no remorse. He thinks he's still right, Rav. He's just doing it to bring up unity, which is lovely. But you can't say, hey, you're an achzori. You're not connecting to the other guy's anguish and pain. There was no anguish and pain here, because he thought he's right. So therefore, the Gemara could ask on Rav Chanina from a different issue. Listen, Rav Chanina, but it's nice to be nice. Why are you so dumb about it? But you could ask him from the Mishnah. The Mishnah is speaking about Achzorius. Achzorius means not connecting to a pain. But over here, there's no pain, so there's no Achzorius. Of course, I found out afterwards that the Sfasemus and Yuma says mamish this word from a different angle. Just two lines. It says Rav Chanina was makbid. He held a grudge. Ask Sfasemus, why did he hold a grudge? Wasn't Rav right? You came late, now I got a chazar again and rewind this year again from the beginning? Why was Rav Chanina makbid? That's what the Sfasemus asks. And taking a step further, and if Rav Chanina is wrong for being makbid, why did Rav run after him to ask Mechiva? Says the Sfasemus, Had ikbid Rav Chanina, af agav shelo haya mechuyav lachzor bishvilo, as the Gemara in Yom Adaf Pezayin Amud Beis, af shelo haya kedin ma shikbid Rav Chanina, Rav Chanina was wrong for having a grudge, Azil Rav lefaiso, Rav went to appease him. Da b'yom ha-kippurim ike inyan sheitpayas echad im chaveru. On Yom ha-kippurim you have to appease your fellow friend. Ve'ein nafkuta, and it doesn't make a difference. B'ma shikpid alav im ha-tzedek imo, or no. It doesn't make a difference if he's right or wrong. Mikom ha-kom tzachim leitpayas. That's what the Sfasemus says on the spot. So Rav did not really feel they did anything wrong. And mainly he approached him only on Yom Kippur to bring out the unity of the Jewish people. And Rav Chanina therefore understood as well that's what's happening. So you can't blame Rav Chanina, why are you connecting to Rav's pain? There is no pain. So the question of Rav Chanina was, okay, that's nice to be nice. And says, well, he had a dream, and it was a question of Pikuach Nefesh, and that's what he answers. So I said, let's just conclude, on Erev Yom Kippurim, there's a Chiyuv Gomer to go, if anybody has a grudge on anyone else, and you're the only one who could remove that grudge, so it's your chiyuv to go over to that individual and say, listen, I know you have a grudge against me. I know there was things that happened amongst us. Let's just forgive each other. I'll forgive you. You'll forgive me. And even if you are right, you still have to take this initiative. Exactly what we do with our wives. Even though you're right, you ask Mechila. Why? Even if you're right. What? Yeah. And if he's he asked three times. I think Mozi Cheskel asked me that question also. Right? What happens if he's not Mechulev? So he asked three times. More than three times, not Mechulev. Only if he's your Rebbe, so according to those opinions, you got to go more and more. But it's a big Yisrael. It's a big Yisrael, and sometimes it's not that easy to go do it. What? Rashi and Chumash are leaving open. Yeah, because I want to be invited again. Another time. Like that, you say you got all the answers. You won't invite me anymore.
No, you want to come back.
What?
I want to come back.
Yeah, zecher. You know, I like to wake up people. That's my job. Ich bin a baker. Rabbi said, I want to ask slichu mechila on any gezel shena that I caused anybody today. And in Yes Hashem, we should be zecher to have a gmar chasim a teva and a good gebench to yo, the kol tursana.